Blog Talk Radio.
I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. And if you have an opinion, number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. You can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. Hope everybody had a great week, good week, and we're definitely going to have a good time here today. We expect to be joined by actor Ruben Santiago Hudson. He stars on the hit show, ABC hit show Castle, and Hudson's going to come on by, and then Ruben's going to come on by and talk about his beloved Jets, talk about the show Castle, and talk some sports, man, and have a good time doing it.
Also, this is a big week in sports right now. Big
week. It's a big week right now. Big week, big week, big week. McNabb, Vic, Eagles, Redskins, big game tomorrow at the Link, 4:15. The return of McNabb, and everybody's talking about it, and if you look at the whole situation with McNabb and Vic and everything, I mean, Michael Vick has come onto the scene. This was supposed to be the game where Kevin Cobb comes out and proves that he is the guy and the guy to adequately replace Donovan McNabb, but as it turns out, first half against the Green Bay Packers, Cobb suffered the concussion, and from there, after suffering the concussion, from there, it was pretty much it. The Michael Vick era started in Philadelphia. Michael Vick has made a comeback, and Michael Vick has played very, very well. Vick is back. Vick is back. But talking about Donovan McNabb and him returning to Philadelphia, he's a guy that hopefully the fans, the Philadelphia fans, they can be tough, and I am one of them. Hopefully the fan base will salute this guy. Hopefully the fan base will cheer this guy and give him what he deserves. 11 years of service, 5 NFC title games, a Super Bowl appearance, 5-6 Pro Bowls. The guy has done a lot for this organization, and football was dead in Philadelphia when Donovan McNabb stepped on the scene. It just came off a 3-13 season. So football was dead in Philadelphia. So you have McNabb, who stepped on the scene and changed the culture along with Andy Reid and brought winning back to the Eagles organization. So with that being said and all that being said, the guy deserves to be saluted. The guy deserves to be cheered, and he deserves that. He definitely deserves that because he's earned it. He's earned it. Now, after what happens after the introductions and everything, I mean, at that point, you can boo, and you should boo, because he's on the opposite team right now at that point. But if you look at the guy, Donovan McNabb, and you can't. It's hard to argue with what he has done. Granted, he didn't win the big one, and that's the knock against this guy. He didn't win the big one, but he put him in position on numerous occasions, and he turned the culture around with the Philadelphia Eagles. He turned the culture around and turned it to a winning culture and a winning situation. And with that being said and everything, again, I encourage anybody who's heading out to the game tomorrow, who may be listening, please cheer the guy, because he deserves it. And after that, he's open game, but cheer the guy. But right now, his Redskins are 1-2 right now, and they're struggling along right now. They lost a tough one, and they lost to the Rams, but a game that they really didn't play well in. But they also lost a tough game against the Texans. Again, they were up 27-10 late in the third quarter, and they were in complete control of that game, but they lost it. Right now, their defense is ranked 32 in the league. So things are not going well defensively, but I think there is more talent on that defense than what you see in terms of they're a lot better than being ranked 32. They definitely are a lot better defense than that. And so this should be an opportunity again for the Eagles and Michael Vick to continue to progress, continue to get better, and ultimately I believe continue to win. I mean, this is a game they should win, but don't underestimate Donovan McNabb and what he brings to the table. And he's got a lot to prove. I mean, you know, it's a big slap in the face to be traded sometimes from a place that you wanted to stay. But it's also another slap in the face to be traded within your division. And that tells me when you get traded in your division sometimes, that tells me and that told me that Andy Reid and the rest of the Eagles organization is not scared of you. They're just not scared of you. So they've decided to trade this guy within their division. They decided that this guy, Kevin Cobb, was good enough, and Michael Vick was good enough to back him up. Now, throughout the course of the year, obviously, the first game of the season, actually the first half of the first game of the season, Kevin Cobb went down, concussion. Michael Vick stepped in, and the rest is history at this point. But I was a guy who was a big proponent of keeping Donovan in the fold. I wanted Donovan here to stay because I felt the guy had two or three good years of football left in him. But after what I have seen, these first two and a half games from Michael Vick, I'm thinking to myself, maybe if I knew what I know now, and again, it's still early, but if we're talking today, and if Michael Vick keeps up, obviously he's not going to go through the whole season with 100-plus quarterback rating in the games. He's not going to do that. But if he continues to play at a high level, a Pro Bowl level, which he is playing at right now, 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, if he continues to play at this level, then maybe Andy Reid and those guys were right about Donovan McNabb. And maybe it wasn't more about being right about Donovan McNabb, but being more right about what they have. And maybe it wasn't Kevin Cobb, and what they have is Michael Vick. And if you look at it, they took a chance on Michael Vick a couple years ago. They took the chance. They took a shot at the guy, a guy coming off a prison sentence. Missed 2 years of football, and they took a chance on him. And they took a chance on him. I think they had something in mind. And taking a chance. They had something in mind, whether to trade him or have him for 1 year, see what kind of market you can get for this guy, see what kind of players you can get for this guy, draft picks or what have you, see what you can get for this guy. And then, you know, possibly trade him. But along the way, I think also their thinking was maybe we have something here. Maybe under the tutelage of Marty Morningweg, under the tutelage of Andy Reid, that we can make something here out of this guy, that we can do something with this guy. So you look at that, and we have what we have here today. Michael Vick, a guy who has made a comeback. He has made a comeback in a lot of ways, and he's a guy, man, that he's – say what you will about Michael Vick, but he has proven that he is somewhat of a winner. And I use the word somewhat of a winner. I didn't say a full-fledged winner, but he's a somewhat of a winner. I mean, he's over 500 in terms of his record. And he's also led his team to the playoffs on two occasions, led his team once in the NFC title game against the Philadelphia Eagles, a game where the Eagles and Donovan McNabb, ironically enough, finally broke through. So if you look at all these things about Michael Vick, and you look at the situation with Michael Vick, he's proven to be a winner. Now it's Andy Reid and Marty Morningweg and those guys are now trying to put together and turn this guy into a full-fledged quarterback. And the first two games has shown me that possibly he is a full-fledged quarterback, and he has proven to have poise, accuracy, a pocket presence that you've never seen with this guy. And he's proven now that maybe. It's only two games. Only two games. But maybe, maybe he is back, and maybe he is back better than ever. Not only is he back, but now he could be back and back better than ever. So we're expected to be joined by actor Ruben Santiago Hudson. We're going to talk about his show, hit show, Castle, which airs on ABC's Monday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 Pacific. And so we're going to talk to Ruben Santiago Hudson. He's going to talk some football. He's a big Jets fan, and we're going to get his take on the Jets and all things NFL. Ruben, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Ruben, you're a Tony Award-winning actor and numerous credits, and you've done it all in terms of acting, theater, and all that stuff. Now, Ruben, let's talk football. Let's start with the football first. You're a big Jets fan. I that in terms of the Jets and Mark Sanchez, I don't trust the guy. I just don't trust the guy, and I just don't think the guy is going to be good enough to get you guys where you want to go. How do you feel about Mark Sanchez and your Jets?
Well, I hate to tell you, I don't agree with you. It's like I think that's what we need to do, trust him a little bit more, continue to train him, continue to let him hone his skills, and continue to let him follow his instincts a little bit more. He's surrounded by a great offensive line. He has good skill position players. He has LT in the backfield, Sean Green. Brian Smith is dynamite. And you got these wonderful receivers. They got, Dustin Keller and Kotchery, obviously Edwards, and soon Santonio Holmes. So I think what we need to do is trust him a little bit more and be confident in some of it. He is a football player. He's young, true, and he will make mistakes. And we have to live and die with those mistakes to a certain extent. If we train him well, as continue to train him, we have a good staff, and trust his instinct a little more. And I would lean a little bit more on Brad Smith in the passing game as well as the running game and look to LT a little bit more on that wing.
Now, in terms of Sanchez, I just see, granted, it was his first year starting, but I see the 12 touchdowns, I see 20 interceptions, and I just see a guy who is shaky. And with the Jets, you need more of a game manager and a guy as a game manager who will not make the mistakes.
Well, I think
you trust him? Can you trust him not to make the big mistake?
No, you have to. You know, a quarterback, that position is, that's a 3-4 year down the line position when you really get good at it. And I mean, look at Eli's growth. I mean, look at quarterback's growth. Look at Flacco. I mean, quarterback is about 4 years down the line when you really have it under your belt. So in the meantime, it's going to be some wins and losses. But look at the last two games, three touchdowns each game he threw. And he took some chances, and he threw some really dynamite balls. But he's playing as good as Joe Flacco and a lot of these other guys that are running their teams. Obviously, he doesn't have the wisdom of a Charlie Batch or one of those old guys that can come in and really manage the game. But when you have a young gunslinger, you got to let him sling. You got to let him draw his weapon and shoot.
And even if it could be the detriment to the team, because, Ruben, that defense that you have is great. I mean, you have a very, very good defense in New York.
Well, we have a very good defense, but we have to be careful by putting too much pressure on Kyle Wilson, the young man. We're putting a lot of pressure on him real early, and they're taking advantage of him.
Right. Well, I don't know, Ruben. I feel like Mark Sanchez will be the thing that holds this ball club back. I really do. This is a playoff team, but in terms of Super Bowl, I think Mark Sanchez might be the guy who's going to hold them back.
No, he's not the linchpin. The linchpin is Darrell Revis, basically, for our Super Bowl. And it's funny to say that, to put it on the defensive backs back. But Sanchez can get us where we need to go with our defense. I just think we need to trust him a little bit more, make him confident in what he's doing. He's learning now to look defenders off. He's learning now to eat the ball sometime. He's learning now to go for all the marbles sometime. He's getting better. Look at his progress, and that's what we have to judge him on.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. He's definitely played well these last two games. Definitely has played well and definitely has shown a lot of promise. We'll definitely have to see what happens as the season progresses. And also, you Jets, they were on Hard Knocks this past season, talking a lot of trash, Rex Ryan and those boys. As a fan of this team, do you think this show was a good idea?
Personally, no. I think advertising in the business sense, yes. As a football team, no, because it's too much of your family business gets out, and you don't need people to always know how you feel about everything all the time because you show it on the field. And what happened in Hard Knocks is they revealed too much personal business. And I think we didn't need to do that because though it did show our identity, we do have an identity before Hard Knocks. You know, Rex said who we were, and our team on the field, their play showed who we were. I'm not a big fan. I enjoyed it very much, but I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan of showing your whole card, as they say when you're playing poker. You got to have one card in the hole nobody knows. You keep that down. Sometimes I think we expose too much in Hard Knocks.
So now you're 2-1 right now, coming off a big victory over the Miami Dolphins. How do you see this team going the rest of the way?
You know, we have a pretty tough schedule, and I think if we find our consistency, and I think I was a little disappointed in Schottenheimer's calls, really. You got one of the best pass-catching running backs in the league in LT. You must throw the ball to him sometime. A little bit more than he's doing. The Brickishaw's a pulling guard. He'll pull out there with Mangold and Brandon Moore and those guys, Woody, and we throw that short screen. I was a little disappointed in the play calling, you know, but I think that we'll do fine. I think we'll do, you know, especially if Revis comes back more healthy. And I'm a little bit disappointed in Cromartie, his lack of his physicality. He doesn't bump you off that line, you know, like Revis will put his hands on you within 5 yards quick. Cromartie wants to deal with his athleticism. So I made a lot of observations, and they're just my observations, but I want Cromartie to be more physical off the line, and then because he has makeup speed. He can always catch up with you.
Right.
But he's you know, when they run sweeps, he's kind of getting out of the way. No, you got to take somebody out and let the linebackers get in.
Now, I want to move on to Braylon Edwards for a second there. He had the DWI situation and the off-the-field situation. And looking at that, do you think – I mean, so far it hasn't been a distraction. But if you do miss the guy – if the guy does happen to get suspended or something happens with him, how much would you miss Braylon Edwards?
To be quite honest with you, he's an asset to the team when he's playing good, and then he's a detriment to the team when he's being immature, when all this dancing, all this in-your-face stuff. I used to love Barry Sanders. He would score a touchdown and lay the ball on the ground. I love the demeanor of he has people around him who he can watch. Jericho Cotchery, just watch his style. You know, when he does something, he acts like he's supposed to do it. If he doesn't catch a ball, it's like why didn't I catch it? I like his manner, his maturity, Jericho. When Braylon plays within his head correct, he's great. Santonio Holmes is coming back, too, and we look for him to also be an asset to the team. But we don't need immaturity. We don't need a lot of in-your-face, you know, flaunting and all this dumb stuff. We don't need it.
Well, you have guys now like Santonio Holmes who's serving a 4-game suspension. You also have Braylon Edwards. You got some guys with possibly some questionable character. Do you view that as a problem, or do you think these guys will get their things to get their act together and play well and do what they have to do?
I think they'll get their act together. Personally, I hope they get their act together. Most of it is a sign of immaturity, and sometimes that immaturity comes from how you were raised up, who you surrounded yourself with coming up, and what kind of responsibility was laid on you, you know, in your growth. And when I say your growth, as you're growing up to be a man, from a young man to a man, and sometimes you may be 26 in age and 18 in your mind. And some guys grow up a little bit faster, and you can look around the team and see David Harris. I mean, look at this. You don't hear anything about David Harris until he knocks the daylights out of somebody. They know it is David Harris. But as far as making a distraction, no, you know, and a lot of offensive players like to flaunt a lot. They have to stay within the game, use that energy in the game. So I think, you know, with Rex Ryan as the coach, and he's a pretty no-nonsense guy, I think these guys will grow and mature, especially if they look at some of the leaders on the team. I think we'll be fine.
And looking at Rex Ryan, he's a guy who, on Hard Knocks, he did a lot of talking. And like you said, he is a hard-nosed, tough coach. Talk about Rex Ryan and what he means to this team.
He, you know, Rex Ryan immediately came in and initiated a play hard rule, a defense first rule. He gave us an identity quick. He said, we're coming to play every week. He did not shy against that. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to try to get my guys ready and see what happens on the field, which is cool. But he came out and said, we're coming after you every week. We I'm not here to kiss Belichick's rings. And he's shown you he's not here. And it's like, it's that identity. You don't want to be arrogant. But you want to be confident, because confidence breeds success. Confidence and preparation and opportunity meet together, you get success. And so he gave him an identity. He's preparing them. And then we come on the field and try to be successful. I like, sometimes he has to tone it down a little bit, but I like that he stands up for his players. You know, he'll call a spade a spade. He'll call a heart a heart. You know, if you ain't got no heart, he'll say you got no heart. You ain't playing with any heart. You know?
Now you've been a lifelong Jets fan, and you've suffered through a lot of things.
You know, I like anything with an NY on the helmet or hat. Giants, Jets, Yankees, Mets, Knicks, Rangers. You put an NY on it?
We'll get to the Knicks because the NBA season is about to start, so we'll get to the Knicks in a second. But if you look at everything with the Jets,
mm-hmm.
and granted, you believe that when it's – I'm so judging what I get from you, when it's all said and done, the Jets will be in the Super Bowl.
I don't know if it'll be this year, but if they stay on the path they're on, they will be in the Super Bowl without a doubt in the next 2-3 years.
Okay, all right. So we'll see in the next few years. The Jets will be in the Super Bowl. Can
next
I hold you to
years.
That?
Yeah, I believe it. A
couple years, okay. Can I hold you to that? So 2012?
Yeah.
All right, Ruben, you've been a lifelong Jets fan, and you've suffered through a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Rich Kotite, you suffered through that.
You're going to bring that up, huh?
The tough playoff loss against the Browns.
Mm.
You suffered through a lot. So is it good now? Do you finally feel rewarded for what you've been going through this coming now that the Jets are a better team?
I feel like I think the reward is coming. I think being a loyal fan, I think the rewards are coming. I think we're heading in the right direction. I'd put it that way. We're not there yet. All you got to do is watch these games. You know that we're not there yet, but you know that we're headed up. We're not going down. And when you see a franchise going down, down, down every year, then that's panic. But I see us headed in the right direction, and I'm very proud of the work that they're doing out there.
Now we're talking to Ruben Santiago Hudson, actor, plays on the hit show Castle, which airs on ABC. Now, Ruben, you say you like anything with an NY on the hat. And speaking of that, NBA season is about to start. Training camp started this week. And you're a big Knicks guy.
Yes.
And you've added Amari Stoudemire in offseason, Raymond Felton as well. How do you feel about your Knicks going into this upcoming NBA season?
Well, talking about suffering, man, it's been, has it been 10 years? I'm talking about, I haven't suffered near as much with the Jets as I've suffered with the Knicks because I'm there.
What was it, 73?
Oh, my God. But we've had some competitive teams with Pat Ewing, you know, in Oakley and stuff. But, man, have we been suffering. But I am very, very happy about where we're headed now. I think Wash is doing a great job in there and mixing, you know, rooting out some stuff and bringing in some new stuff. I think we have a very athletic, a long team this year, a young team, and I think they're going to put a lot on the court. I think we're not finished, though, because it'd be nice to see Melo there next to Stoudemire, and I'd be elated if CP3 lined up there, too. I think we would have that championship action right there. We go down to Miami and let them know what's happening.
So Carmelo Anthony has stated that he wants to come to New York.
Yeah, we have stated we want him.
Chris Paul. So you're banking on possibly a big three in New York?
Yeah, I would love that. I mean, what a greater place to play. I mean, New York, I mean, we don't burn down the city when we win championships. You know, this ain't Boston, man. I mean, this is like we win championships, man. We celebrate. The pubs stay full. You know, so we need a champion in New York. New York is a huge market, great and loyal fans, you know, intelligent sports fans. You know, it's some knuckleheads like in every city, but for the most part, as you know, we have in this conversation now, we understand you know, the game and the teams.
So, and if you look at the Knicks, Mike D'Antoni, a guy who pro offense, big time offense, you know, with Steve Nash and those boys and the Suns, it was up and down, run and gun type of offense. Do you think that style wins championships? Because it's a style that with the Suns he didn't win. He got them to the conference finals, but he didn't win championships there. Well, can this style win championships?
In my opinion, no. No, not without defense. I think, you know, defense, because there's so many incredible athletes in the NBA, somebody has to be an in-your-face defender. 1, 2, 3. We need a couple hard heads, as I used to call them, hard necks. Like, we need an Oakley, and we need Sprewell, and we need that kind of person that just is in your face. You know, Clyde Frazier, a defender. And we need these kind of somebody to step up and say, I'm the guy that you put on this person. And so I think I love the excitement of the running gun, but we have to have defenders. And that's why
right.
the Lakers won that championship. People talk about Kobe and Gasol. They defended. Kobe is in your chest every play, whether you like him or not. He will take on whoever you want him to check. And we need
right.
people like that on the Knicks if we're ever going to get another championship. When we won in 73, as you call out that year, most people weren't even born, it's probably listening. But Clyde Frazier led on that defensive end, you know, and somebody has to be that for the Knicks, that defender that's going to either stop you or make you work so hard that you say, please call the dogs off. And so, you know, I love the running, but let's get some defense going.
Like you said, I mean, it looks great on TV. It's exciting. Looks good in the stands. But ultimately, this thing is about winning championships, and that's not going to get it done. And if you look at the big three in Miami with LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh and those boys, do you think maybe that the Knicks' opportunity of winning has now gone away? Because if you look at it, if you look at that, those guys are young.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a good opportunity. There's no guarantee, and I'm not even sure they'll win the championship or even get to the finals this particular season. But these guys could be around and winning championships for the next decade.
Yeah, they can. That possibility is all in everybody's face, that Miami could have a good dynasty going there. And the other possibility is if they don't gel and if they don't keep the right pieces in place, basketball, that's why they put five men on that court, not three. You put five men on that court, and they all have to play together, and you need a supportive bench, a good bench, and people that want to be there and play together, and that's what we have to see. Those three guys are phenomenal basketball players. We talk about the Miami Heat. I think what Walsh has done this season is put together a team of very skilled, long, athletic, young players for the New York Knickerbockers. And I think we're going to take the challenge and get in everybody's face. How many games we win, I do not know. But when you come into the Garden, know that you better bring your best game, and we're going to be in your face. That's the way I feel about the Knicks' identity this year. And like I say, one other piece, like a Melo coming there, like somebody like Melo takes no prisoners. We need another guy like that, like Stoudemire on the other side. And I think Felton's going to do dynamite at the point guard, you know, at this point. So I'm excited about the Knicks. I mean, I'm shooting Castle in L.A., you know, and so I'm there at the studio every day with all the Lakers fans. So I got to hear all this, you know. So we got to win some games so I can be smiling down there when I'm in L.A.
You got to shut everybody up down there.
Yeah, I mean, I shut them up with the Yankees last year. You know, so, but, I mean, I can't tell you how many bottles of Pinot Noir I had on my, you know, I bet the good Pinot Noir, so I was stacked up.
and speaking of the Yankees, I'm a lifelong Phillies fan, and the Yankees beat my boys there. A couple things here and there could have changed. I thought the Phillies could have won that World Series, but the Yankees were the better team. Do you see a repeat there with the New York Yankees?
I got one thing to say, bullpen. Pitching.
Okay.
If our pitching does not, if Burnett does not come, if the real Burnett don't show up, and we need another star out of that bullpen. You know, Phil Hughes is doing well, but we only three deep right now, depending on how Pettit is doing. You know, Mariano is showing that he is human at this point. Of course, when we get to the playoffs, he's going to be Superman again, hopefully. But we need a star out of that bullpen. I mean, Burnett is not showing to be the real deal at this point. CC is a horse. I mean, you can ride that horse so far, but when the horse gets tired, who's going to come in and carry you the rest of it? You know, so we
right.
need the bullpen to show up. And if our bullpen shows up, we win. If our bullpen does not show up, salut. You know, it's done, baby.
And I like the chances of my Philadelphia Phillies with the three starters and Holiday, Oswalt, and Cole Hamels.
They look good.
I think they'll get back there. And whether we see the Yankees or not, I don't know.
But
I think my Phillies will get back there.
But, you know, the Yankees have been resting a few people, but it's still the linchpin is going to be our bullpen. And if our bullpen comes to play, I really need Burnett to show, and I hope Pettit is healthy. If Pettit is healthy, he solidifies things a lot for us. But if he is not healthy, we're in big trouble.
Now, Ruben, let's move on to the ABC hit show Castle. So on that show, you play NYPD Captain Roy Montgomery. Talk about the show and your role.
Well, Castle is a throwback show. It's a throwback to Moonlighting. It's a throwback to Murder, She Wrote, even Rockford Files. it's a whimsical show in a sense, and it's a very suspenseful romantic show in a sense. You know, we deal with, you know, solving murders, and with Nathan Fillion as a writer who helps the NYPD through his whimsical ideas and his writing creative intellect. He leads us places that we normally don't think about going. So he helps one of the wonderful Stana Kedic, who plays my chief detective, solve murders. And I think with their humor, with their sexual tension, with the wonderful writing staff we have and directors, I think, you know, obviously we've proven to be a hit. I think we'll be a hit for some time to come. It's a show worth watching, 10 o'clock on Monday nights right after Dancing with the Stars. It's a really, really good show. I mean, they've thrown stiff competition to us this year with new premiere shows, and we met that competition head on, and we're matching everybody's numbers that they throw up against us or beating them. And we're very proud of that show. Castle is just I think it's the kind of show that you can rest good at night after you see it, because even though we deal with murder and trauma, we also deal with romance and comedy. And so to have all those ingredients in makes a real nice gumbo, I would say.
Now, Ruben, real quickly, you wrote the hit play Lackawanna Blues, which received the NAACP Image Award and Emmy nominations. What was the inspiration behind that play?
That play was written to say thank you to the woman who adopted me and raised me, Rachel Crosby, who we all called Nanny. And what I found out while she was raising me, she was raising an entire community. And that love and that support is the foundation of driving me to be successful in what I do. And so I wanted to say thank you to her. And I wrote this play, and I performed it with the wonderful blues musician Bill Sims Jr., sitting on stage playing all through the play, and I did all the roles. HBO subsequently turned into a movie, which we won an Emmy, Golden Globe, NAACP, Writers Guild, National Board of Reviews, Directors Guild. We were blessed, you know, a bounty of blessings. And that movie resonates through so many people's hearts. Each week someone stops me and talks about Lackawanna Blues. And I just tell them I wrote it to say thank you to my mother. And so it means a lot to me that it also means a lot to other people.
Now, Ruben, one of your numerous awards, you won a Tony Award for your role in Seven Guitars. Talk about the honor of winning a Tony Award.
Well, winning the Tony Award was obviously an integral part of my career. You know, it really solidified my place, I guess, on the American theater spectrum throughout history. I'm in history now as one of the, I guess, 60 Tony Award winners, 58 Tony Award winners in my category in the history of Broadway, and maybe only 5 African-American. I'm one of those. So it meant a lot to me because it said thank you to my director, Lloyd Richards, and August Wilson, who wrote it, and as well as my family, my wife, and everybody, and my kids who supported me throughout and believed in me when sometimes I didn't even believe in myself. And so to win that award and be validated in that sense was just like almost me paying homage to those whose shoulders I had stood on. So it's just a real good honor for me.
And now, Ruben, this is a tough question, but throughout the years you've starred in numerous stage plays, sitcoms, movies, and this might be, like I said, this is a tough question, but what has been your favorite role as an actor?
My favorite role as an actor probably is when I played Cainwell in August Wilson's Seven Guitars, because he was so multifaceted. He had so many faces. He would be the tough guy, and he would be the lover, and he would be vulnerable, and he would be the little brother, and he would be the best friend. Cainwell just had so many opportunities to show the total, I guess, wholeness of human nature, of human beings. I laughed and I cried and I was angry and I had my knife out and I had my fist balled, and other times I had my hand open saying I love you. And so that kind of role is something I always seek out as an actor, but the opportunities aren't that frequent to play so many aspects of my personality.
Now, right now you are on the show Castle. Is there any other things you have working or in the works right now?
Well, you know, I continue to write movies. You know, trying to get them done is the hard part. I have faith that they will get done. I write movies that hopefully change the world in a positive way. Lackawanna Blues, I think, did that. In my next movie that I'm looking to have produced, Love in the Driest Season, which I'm trying to get possession of, and because I sold it, and I'm trying to get it back and redo it. I'm looking to see that happen. And I continue to write movies that I think make us understand each other, us as human beings understand each other. Because if I reveal who we are, African-American people, as a people, our wholeness, our integrity, you know, what's important to us and how we deal with things, I think it brings people closer because you say, oh, he wants just what I want. You know, he
right.
wants a safe environment, good schools for his kids, and nice fresh water to drink, you know.
We're all the same, and
that's what my movie
and that's
says.
an image that we need to see more often.
It's hard to get it done.
Unfortunately, you have to, and I don't want to knock BET, but you see images on there, and you see images elsewhere of black people, and it's not always positive, and it doesn't show us, unfortunately, in a good light.
You know, the reality is we're not always positive, but what we are is more positive than what we're seeing. You know, there's
right.
a dichotomy to who we are. There's some good, there's some bad, and there's some ugly. And we have to show as much good or more good as we show bad and ugly. And what's happening with
right.
our images in the things that I see is we're showing much more bad and ugly than good. So let's not be
right.
buffoons in what we do, and let's not be caricatures in what we do, but let's honor who we are, our existence, our history, our communities, our bloodline. Let's honor what our parents and grandparents have done to get us here. We have an incredible history, you know, and like one day I'd like to really get into the Harlem Renaissance and really deal with it in a big, big way. And that's one of my dreams and goals in life, the Harlem Renaissance. So, you know, it's so many good things we could say about who we are, as well as bad, and we need to balance them.
Right.
You know, right now I'm just showing, you know, hip-hop gangsters and, you know, not that all hip-hop guys are gangsters, but it's guns
right.
toted to the side and beatboxes in the back. No, I want to see what we've contributed as human beings.
And we all don't like rap music. And
I tell you
okay,
what, I roll with it.
That needs to be shown.
But I
that
roll
needs
with
to be
it,
shown.
But I have to have all of it. I got to have my jazz, my
right.
blues, my hip-hop, my classical, you know, my pop, my rock. I want to hear all of it, but I want to celebrate what I know
right.
is absolutely, undoubtedly mine, that came straight from
right.
the soil and the blood in the sweat of my people, which is jazz and blues and our history and discoveries and scientifically, politically, educationally, you know.
And you're definitely right. And Ruben, want to thank you. You can see Ruben Santiago Hudson on Castle, which airs Monday on ABC at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 Pacific. And make sure you check Ruben out on that show. He does a good job, and it's a great show. And Ruben, we definitely thank you for stopping by, sir, and we definitely have to have you back again at some point in the future.
When the Jets get in the Super Bowl, we'll talk again. But let me correct you. Even on the West Coast, it comes on at 10 o'clock after Dancing
okay,
with the Stars.
Okay.
So it's 10 o'clock all over. I think in Central Time it's 9 o'clock. But other than that, it's
okay.
10. You know, just tune in and you know, and follow us and Nathan and Stana and the whole crew there on Castle. We'll have a good show for you each week.
Ruben, we thank you for stopping by, sir. It was greatly appreciated. And when the Jets lose in the NFC and the AFC Conference title game, we'll talk about it.
Oh, either call me when the Knicks beat Miami. Hey, man, have a good day,
thank
bro.
You. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Ruben Santiago Hudson. We talked. A lot of good stuff there. Solid actor. And he's on the hit show Castle, 10 o'clock, ABC, right after Dancing with the Stars on Monday nights. So make sure you check him out there and make sure that you continue to watch that show because he's a good guy and it's a good show. We are now being joined by our usual co-host, Jeremy Eskin.
En route to the Bridingsville area, so a little traffic, but I did get a chance to hear a great interview by my partner. It was very interesting.
I mean, definitely Ruben's an interesting guy, and definitely good to get his insight.
I'm glad to see another supporter in the New York Jets, and it makes me feel good seeing people out there starting to recognize that the Jets, I think, as I said, Paul, are certainly, unfortunately, for real.
You're right. I mean, I can't argue with the last two performances by Mark Sanchez. I really can't. And he's just a guy that I still don't believe in. It's only two games. And speaking of two games, we could say the same thing about Mike Vick, who
I'm glad you said it, Paul. That's where I'm going to go. Is that
we got to get into that deep. Big game tomorrow at Lincoln Financial Field. Michael Vick, Donovan McNabb, Eagles, Redskins. All those hoopla, all this other stuff, all this other mess. At the end of the day, it's all about a football game. But if you look at this game is big. And as you thought about it in the summertime, you thought about it back in April when they made the trade when they traded McNabb to the Redskins. You thought about this moment, but little did you know that Michael Vick would be the guy under center and not Kevin Cobb. And so when we look at this situation and what Michael Vick has become, I mean, this guy has become, wow. I mean, Michael Vick is playing out of his mind right now. And he's a guy that has proven to be back. Michael Vick is back. Believe it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you hate the guy for the dogs or all this other mess, whether you hate him for all that stuff, the reality of it is he's playing well. He served his time. That's a done deal. This guy is back. Michael Vick is back.
No, I mean, the interesting thing about this game, Paul, and I think you're right, this is a big game for both teams. It's a huge divisional game. It's early enough in the season where, you know, both teams need this game. I mean, obviously the Redskins with the lesser record probably need it more, but for the Eagles, especially for Vic going into this or projecting out into this season, he needs to have a solid game against what is, you know, right now, I mean, this is the biggest game on his schedule. I mean, each week I think they will get bigger, but make no mistake about it, Vic comes out and outplays Donovan McNabb, and I think you're going to see a lot of people around the league look up and say, wow, you know, Michael Vick is back.
And I really believe, I mean, it's only been two games, and I have to understand, I have to put that out there, it's only been two games. But this guy has proven that he, and granted, if it's against the Lions, the Jaguars, or even against Penn State, the guy has proven that he will stand in the pocket. And that's something he hasn't proven in the past. He has shown great poise, great ability, and he's getting the ball downfield. I mean, he's thrown for almost 300 yards the past 2 weeks against the Lions and the Jaguars. And I don't care who it was against. What I'm saying on Michael Vick is a totally different guy.
Absolutely. I think, I mean, there's, I don't think you're going to see somebody calling up or, you know, somebody right now that, you know, Mike, there's a deficiency, I think, in his game, because right now he's playing, this has been, I think, the best two games, arguably three games, two and a half games, you know, of his career. He is,
as a complete quarterback, quarterback, yes.
And when you project,
you're
going to
make that
think,
argument.
When you project him out, like when you look at, you know, the velocity of the ball, the accuracy of the ball, I mean, just at every level, you know, I hate to say, like, a poor man's Donovan McNabb, because there are similarities and differences to their games, but certainly he's playing smarter than he ever played in those two and a half games than he ever played in Atlanta. In Atlanta, it was like, you know, you could definitely see what he wrote or what he said in those interviews about he didn't really care if they won or lost. He cared, you know, about he would hop in and play well.
He basically was a guy who came in last and left, was the last one in, first one out. And that's what he was
that.
In Atlanta.
You could definitely see that in his game, Paul. I mean, if you read
and
so
it
far,
was basically... It was basically, you know, he basically was working off his natural ability. And I heard someone say this, that Michael Vick is basically is playing like a controlled Allen Iverson. I mean, if you look at those two, same type of guys in their heydays, both dynamic, both guys who Michael Vick won on some level. I mean, an AI won as well. They didn't win championships, but they did win. And both guys who had a loyal following, and both guys happened to be from Virginia. But both of these guys, you questioned their work ethic. You questioned their leadership abilities. You questioned a lot of things about these guys. And now you look at Michael Vick, now he's a humble version. He's a guy who had to eat and take a slice of that humble pie in order to become the guy that he is right now. And granted, It's still early. And who knows? I mean, and we don't even know if this guy is truly changed. We won't know until we have to let time be the judge of that, of course. But if you look at this guy right now, you're seeing some possibilities. You are seeing some of the possibilities of what this guy could be and what you hope that he will be, not only on the field, but hopefully off the field as well.
No, certainly. I mean, I think, you know, unfortunately for me, the offseason, and I said this all summer, the offseason showed me the real Michael Vick, the person. But, I mean, so far during the season,
you're talking about the party.
Right. Well, Paul, I mean, we talked about that for almost a month, on and off.
But it was a guy who may have made a bad decision, but it wasn't, like, the worst decision in the world. I mean, he made a little bad decision, a little hiccup, maybe, some could say. He made a little hiccup, but at the end of the day, everything, all the charges, there were no charges against the guy. The guy was
not
involved with anything. The only thing he was guilty of was having a 30th birthday party in a public place where people could come.
But the only thing, let me make two comparisons. The only thing he was charged with, in my mind, is the same thing Ben Roethlisberger was charged with, stupidity.
Let's not compare what he may have been charged with or allegedly did in comparison to what Ben Roethlisberger did. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger did allegedly was possibly an assault.
Let me go back and originally say my point. I still say it's my belief based on knowing the original act that he committed, and knowing that, you know, the fact that he's on probation, the fact that he has restrictions on being able to be within a certain proximity of other individuals, these things to me should be in the forefront of his mind every day. And he pretty much came within a hair's whisker of having his entire life revoked from him yet again for the second time. It does show me that there's a lot of off-the-field improvement needed in Michael Vick. The only thing that you can see, though, is that it does very much look like, in terms of an athlete, he definitively recognized that what he said in that article about not really caring, coming in and not showing up, he is leaner than he has. He looks better now than he did in his rookie year. I mean, and he definitely looks like a guy who's come in and worked with Andy Reid, worked with Donovan McNabb, worked with Marty Morningweg, and has really wanted to be a great quarterback.
Well, let's take a call
fundamental.
Let's take a call here. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Hey, good afternoon. This is SS, host of High Talent Radio. I just want to give a big concrete king up to Riding Dirty Radio. Be tuning in to you guys on the internet. You guys, I appreciate the show. You guys do a lot of good work over there. I like the interviews that you guys have in your show. And also I want to give a big up to Ruben Santiago Hudson. I've been checking you out when you was on Law & Order. And I'll give you a big up for the new show you're on. And also Michael Vick is back.
And we thank you for all that.
Yeah.
And make sure you continue to listen. And Michael Vick is back. And he definitely is back, and he has proven throughout these past 2 weeks, two and a half games, I should say, that he may be back. And I think he is back, and he's shown poise, he's shown accuracy, he's shown a pocket presence that you never, ever thought that you would see in your lifetime from this guy.
Paul, you're the guy, more than anybody, who's got to be the most conflicted walking in to this Sunday. I mean, Charles Barkley aside, who's wearing, you know, he's wearing the Redskins jersey, because I know you're wearing your Redskins number 5 as well. I mean, you're writing songs, you're writing singles about this guy. But where are you on Sunday? What's going to be the final score?
Right now, and we want to thank the caller for his call, but right now in terms of what's going on with me and how I feel about it, I mean, I have written songs in the past about the individual, the man, the legend, Donovan McNabb, who will make his way and return to Philadelphia this week. And if you forgot, here's a little listen.
Save McNabb, everybody. Save McNabb, everybody. He is the guy. If the Eagles want to fly, everybody save McNabb.
And that's the song that I penned and I wrote and I put together during the time that I was trying to save McNabb and keep Donovan McNabb in Philadelphia. But now I'm a little conflicted. I'm struggling with a few things right now. I see a guy in Michael Vick who is playing off the charts. Obviously, he's not going to play this way throughout the whole season. But if he continues to play at this level, not necessarily, he's not going to have over 100 quarterback rating every week. He's not going to have that. So don't get used to it. He's not going to have it. No quarterback will. But this guy has proven throughout the years that he still wins even when he doesn't put up big numbers. And this guy has been a winner throughout his career. But I look right now, and I'm a little conflicted because I didn't expect this from Michael Vick. And anybody that says they did, they're lying. They're lying to you. I didn't expect this from Michael Vick. And if I knew what I know now or what I think I may know now after these two games, maybe Shane McNabb wouldn't have been written and performed by myself. Maybe it wouldn't have been written or performed by myself. Maybe it wouldn't. But I'm conflicted right now, and it's going to be tough watching this game on Sunday. I don't really know who to root for right now. I mean, I'm a big-time Eagles fan, no doubt about it. But at the same time, I'd like to see McNabb play well. But I'd also like to see Mike Vick play well, and ultimately like to see Eagles.
And so, but you believe, you see, though, you actually see the Redskins, though, even as, in my opinion, poor as they played, I think they have been lucky because their defense is really not playing up to a level it probably should. And their offense is really, in my opinion, prime for a letdown. Because McNabb, give him credit, he is playing off the charts.
But I got to say this. If you know Donovan has a lot to prove. Because let's be honest, Donovan got slapped in the face by Andy Reid and his organization. And they're slapping him in the face and telling him, look, whatever you are is what you are, because we're going to trade you in our division. We're going to see you two times a year, and we're going to beat you. That's the mindset, obviously, the Eagles had when they traded Donovan McNabb within their division. I mean, that's the mindset that this team had. So if you're Donovan McNabb, you wanted to stay in Philadelphia, A. And B, you have to feel disrespected at this point. You have to feel disrespected because you were traded within your division. And this is a place that you wanted to stay in Philadelphia. Not only were you taken away from the place that you wanted to stay in, but you also were traded in the division. So it's got to be. You got to feel disrespected on some level. And
But you're seeing McNabb. I mean, McNabb's having a very good year. And I think it's been
a very good year.
On that team, he's carrying it.
He's having a decent year.
They're throwing the ball two times as much as any Mike Shanahan team has ever thrown the ball, even when they were with Elway. I mean, I really don't think that enough people are recognizing that. You remember, Paul, you yourself said because the Shanahan offense is a run-first offense, it's going to be better on McNabb. They bring McNabb in, and they're passing first because their running game has been atrocious on every level, and that's why I say project out the fact that McNabb has no receivers, no running game. Basically, he has two maybe receivers, a tight end and a wide receiver, and the wide receiver is on the downside of his career, and he's holding this team together.
Well,
that's why I say,
as of right now,
I watch him coming in. They're going to get, unfortunately, though, because you're not enough to stand up and say the truth, they're going to walk in, and the Eagles are not a real contender. They are ultimately a pretender, but the Eagles will win this game by 10-plus points.
I view it as it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a close game, and I see a field goal being the decider in this game. Not sure who, but I got another 5-6 minutes.
For you.
I got another 5-6 minutes, and I'll tell you who. I'll tell you who. Give me another 5-6 minutes. But I think it's going to be a field goal either way. And it's going to be a close game. You cannot downgrade and underestimate someone who has something to prove, someone who feels disrespected. You can't underestimate that.
Well, but you can when you recognize the people around him. And they're not. Unfortunately, I think the Eagles, their defense is still atrocious. you know, it's a joke that I think people reckon are looking at this defense and saying that they're playing well. They have not played well in any of their games.
You're talking about the Eagles or the Redskins?
Well, both, but I'm speaking
of the Redskins are the 32nd ranked defense, so they're last in defense.
Right, and I think the Eagles, I mean, the Eagles are playing horribly, but that's because
well,
they're
playing horribly for a couple of weeks, but last week, give them credit.
No,
last
I'm not
week.
Giving Come, Paul, come on.
They held the Jaguars to a field goal. Say what you will. Say what you will. This defense stepped up last week. Give them credit. I'm not saying they're the greatest defense. I'm not calling them the 85 Bears. I'm not calling them the 91 Eagles. I'm not calling them none of these defenses. But what I'm saying is this is so they played well last week is what I'm saying. First 2 weeks, they were suspect. But last week, they played well. Give them credit.
If that's what you want me, I'm not giving them credit. They play against a quarterback that's not going to – that Leftwich will not make it out of next game as a starter.
Obviously, you're talking about Garrard. But
if you
look at Detroit, who's Sean Hill? Sean Hill dropped 300 on these boys.
That's what I'm saying. They definitively –
So is David Garrard a better quarterback than Sean Hill?
No, Paul. Bottom line is, but the Eagles defense, the Eagles defense definitively is, they're not there, they're not mentally there. And also,
can I ask you a question again?
Go ahead.
Can I ask again, is Derek Garrard a better quarterback than Sean Hill?
In my opinion, and I'm going to tell you, I think he is one of the biggest frauds that ever walked into this league. The NFL right now, in terms of quarterbacks, is lightning in a bottle. Have one good year, and they will anoint you the next big thing. And when they put him in, when Leftwich got injured, if you remember, Paul, he played well, but he didn't play off the charts.
He got him to the playoffs.
Paul, but this is another problem in sports in general. Getting to the playoffs is really, especially in the NFL, where every year there's another team that's actually getting to the Super Bowl that doesn't even belong being there. The NFL every year is like playing craps. You don't know what's
going to happen. At the end of the day, that team got those teams got there and some won and some lost, but at the end of the day, they got to the Super Bowl.
Write a song about it, Paul. I mean,
speaking of which, I said a field goal either way, and I think the Washington Redskins, and this is going to be tough for me because I'm a big Eagles fan, but I think the Washington Redskins will win by a late field goal. If Eagles and Michael Vick, if they win this week, there will be another song. And this song will be dedicated to the one and only Mike Vick.
So you're playing both against the middle. So you're going to come on the air on Wednesday, and you're actually going to play both against the middle. You're going to pick the Redskins to win the game, you're going to write a song about your new love, Michael Vick.
Well, that's how much I believe that the Redskins will win this football game. I'm going to go do an about face essentially, and that's how much I believe the Redskins will win. So
it's a good thing we only have 2 more minutes left because I'm so nauseous, Paul. I don't even know if I make it for the next 2 minutes.
Well, I mean, if you have a toilet near you, please use it because at the end of the day, and this is just the way I feel, I believe the Redskins will win. And what's that?
I said the carpeting's expensive.
Well, I mean, the studio that you're in, the carpeting is pretty expensive, so. Watch where you throw up.
You blow my mind today.
We're running out of time here. Real quick, does McNabb get the cheers before as he's introduced? Is he going to get cheered or is he going to get booed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes, he is. And if he doesn't, then Philadelphia.
I agree. You got to cheer the guy. He's done too much for your franchise not to cheer him. And I think he will get cheered. And after that, all bets are off. Boo the guy all you want. But you got to cheer him and honor what he has done for this franchise. And this franchise, like I said before Donovan came and Andy Reid came, this franchise was in the dumps. And this easily could be the Detroit Lions if Donovan McNabb did not step on the scene. So this is a guy who's wanted. He won a lot here. Say what you will about the guy. You can criticize the guy all you want. Say all the things that you want to say about this guy. But at the end of the day, this guy has won a lot for the city of Philadelphia, and he deserves to be cheered tomorrow as he gets introduced. Definitely. 100%. Please cheer the guy and do the right thing by Donovan McNabb. We want to thank Rubens Santiago Hudson for stopping by. Make sure you check him out on Castle, 10 p.m., ABC Monday nights, right after Dancing with the Stars. And we want to thank all who listened, all who called. And remember, you can listen to this show and other shows at gofor.com/... You can listen to this show and past shows at blogtalkradio.com/begin. That's blogtalkradio.com/begin, where you can listen to this show and past shows. For my co-host, Jeremy Espy, this is Paul Gann. See you later. Bye.